Hey there, welcome to The Tent. I'm your host, Scott Feldman, and it's time for another foray into the world of aquariums from a slightly different perspective. I don't know why I'm in one of those like philosophical kind of modes today, but something that's on my mind when we talk about nature and so forth and the natural aquatic world that we're inspired by, it's filled with inspiration. It's all over. Like everywhere you look in nature, there's an idea that you can explore, you can study, and you can replicate in your aquarium. We've been doing that for 8 years here at Tennin, haven't we? I see it as part of my responsibility to you, our community, to inspire and to give you ideas for how to incorporate different facets of nature and natural aquatic habitats into your aquariums. Like most of you, hardly a day goes by when some weird idea doesn't pop into my head. I'm constantly looking at images or researching facts about interesting aspects of wild aquatic habitats that would perhaps take us out of our collective comfort zones. So this is what's funny. As I've mentioned a bunch of times, I'm one of those aquarists who likes to set up a tank and run it indefinitely. I hate messing with stuff, which is great for my personal hobby practice, yet as somebody who allegedly wants to influence people and inspire people with as many new ideas as possible, it doesn't square with that mindset. I have to move faster and show more looks to our global audience, or I think I have to. I don't know, maybe that's part of the problem, but of course that means setting up more tanks and breaking down more tanks more often, and since I only have so much time, so much space, and so much resources, I can only set up so many tanks at one time. And you add to the mix the fact that I'm a firm believer in allowing a botanical method aquarium to have the runway that it needs to establish itself and evolve into a more mature microcosm. And the speed at which new stuff rolls out is by necessity slower because of that. And quite honestly, a botanical method aquarium doesn't hit its stride for months, right? The solution? Well, it's probably more fucking tanks in our office and at home and whatever. Well, that's kind of cool, but yeah. But following following my prime directive of letting tanks run for a while, I still find myself getting ready to play with more and more ideas and more aquariums. Now, this is hardly a bad thing for a lifelong fish geek. I have a strong inner voice and mindset. However, accomplishing my goal of more looks more often also necessitates a sort of compromise, creating a schedule of establishing tanks, letting them run, and then breaking them down and doing new ones on a regular, more frequent basis. I guess it's like a farmer rotating crops or whatever. But look, we have all sorts of ideas of our own to run with, and I'm sure we all will. I know I will. Yesterday, I was discussing with some friends no less than 11 different concept tanks that I hope to roll out one day of the next year. I mean, it's crazy. It's ridiculous. And they're all different, all things we've never tried here before and just would be a little bit different with our little niche. And however, I'd like you to also see what kinds of things that will last the test of time. And is there some interesting niche that we haven't touched on before? I'd like to hear from you because I think it would be fun to talk about that and see what we can do with it if it's something that maybe we haven't even thought of. Now, okay, don't suggest a thermal hot spring biotope for pupfish or something totally ridiculous. Trust me, I've actually thought about doing that once before. Maybe it isn't so crazy, actually. But, well, anyway, I'm open to suggestions. Ideas are cool. However, as one social media commentator also says, ideas are shit. Where the rubber meets the road and you execute, that's what really counts. Yeah, even though I have all these really cool ideas for executing all these really cool tanks, all of these thoughts about helping inspire members of our community, I have a very real affliction that I have to fight off a voice in my head which says, Scott, you're not that good at it. That sort of messes with me. I don't know, maybe this is me and my insecurities, but I've had this my whole aquarium life when I started being more public and more vocal. I don't think I'm a lousy, like it's particularly about aesthetics and aquascaping. And I don't think I'm a lousy aquascaper, mind you. Don't get me wrong. I can turn them out occasionally. I put out some things where I thought it was kind of cool. I hit on a few points I wanted, but historically I'm my own worst enemy. I'll do something that sabotage is a great idea by making one more tweak or whatever. I'm not an artist and I just can't nail every single one like so many of you guys and so many great aquascapers can. They just nail everything. You give them the same rocks and twigs or whatever that I have and they'll turn out something that's just crazy. I like to look at aquascapes. I love to play with them. I love to talk about the concepts behind them to some extent, but I feel that I'm just not one of those all-time great people at executing them. It is what it is, but I don't let that handicap me like I used to for years and years. It's actually not a big deal. I've learned to be proud of everything that I do in aquariums, to give it my best and to be humble, well, usually, and feel good about sharing and contributing to the hobby in some small way. This is a big revelation for me, just doing stuff I like and not worrying about what everybody else thinks. I think there's a lesson in there that we can all benefit from. I know I recently set up a reef tank for the first time in many years. And what did I set up? I set up soft corals, which have perpetually gotten the bad rap as beginners, not too exciting. You know, Acropora and SPS are the challenge. And I'm like, screw that. I want to do what I enjoy. I want to do what I love. And I'm loving it more than ever. I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal just because it's so quiet inside my head. No, I bring this up because not only am I probably going to embark on some more aquascapes or playing with tanks or whatever over the next few months, but I received a few curiously timed emails from members of our community expressing some dismay over what they feel are their own lack of skills, which I think is crazy. I hate hearing that. We all have skills, and we shouldn't beat ourselves up. You have skills? Yet there's at least a few takeaways from the pros that we can sure use in our own work, but ideas that might instill a bit more confidence if you're a bit down on yourself lately about what you do, but just revisit them. Let's revisit them. Now look, I am no one to be giving aquascaping advice. I stand in awe of the skills of guys like George Farmer, you know, Mike and Jeff Sensky, Johnny Ciotti, Uris, all those kind of guys. George, I said George already. I mean, there's just so many other people out there. Luis Navarro, Oliver Knott. I mean, these people have serious game and this ability to adapt to the idea that they have floating around in their head at the moment into a reality, as well as all the seemingly otherworldly abilities that they have to see the completed scape as they work. That's pretty freaking cool. But you know what? In talking to a lot of these guys, and many of them I count as my friends, they'll be the first to tell you that they're not ninjas. They just work at it. They gain collective confidence from doing and learning from their mistakes. And they innately know to stop at some point, to let the scape or the aquarium breathe a little bit. We'll come back to that point in a little bit. You ask some of these guys, they'll literally tell you that the components that they're using, the rock, the wood, the plants, sort of talk to them, speak to them, and they listen. Seriously, you talk to Jeff Sensky, he'll tell you that. Talk to Johnny Ciotti, absolutely, he'll tell you that. They have this ability to visualize and execute where something should go, how it should be placed, and how much of it, because they evaluate just what kind of contribution a certain element will make to their overall design or theme that they have in their head. They don't fight it, they listen. I know that shit's deep, right? But it's true. And they'll tell you that we can all do this. We all have that ability. And when you really think about it, they're right. We all can. Now look, some people have different training or backgrounds. Some people understand art, design, balance, technique, whatever, which you might think gives them certain advantages over a guy like, I don't know, like a guy like me, for example. And likely it does. These design backgrounds and art backgrounds teach these people to understand ratios and color and perspective. But they almost never tell you that these things are the main reason that they're good at what they do. Rather, they'll tell you it's because they've developed an innate understanding of the process and the ability to heed an inner voice and to just love what they're doing and sometimes to let go. Most of these people aren't doing it for you, believe it or not. They're doing it for themselves. It just so happens they lock in on an aesthetic theme that we love. And they share because they love sharing. But they're not doing it to impress people. I mean, these guys, like all aquascapers, and that includes you and even me, these people are really deep. They're very philosophical. You can have some amazing discussions with them. In our podcast version of The Tint, I've had discussions with people like George Farmer that could have easily stretched into hours just on the philosophy and the philosophical ramifications of aquascaping. The main difference between them and us is that these guys listen really intently to that inner voice and they don't fight it off. One of my favorite people in the world who I need to have on again, and I've been terrible in getting back to her, is Jen Williams. One of the best aquascapers in the United States. She's often said, she's so humble about what she does. And she's often said that her ideas come right from nature and she just interprets and she does it. She doesn't think about anything else. And this is someone that's consistently turned out amazing work that it almost seems effortless. George Farmer, same thing. He could take an idea and just effortlessly crank it out. Ty Streitman, our friend who is about to release a really exciting new book, we'll have him on again soon. But Ty is absolutely the interpretation, the guy that will interpret nature. Spent hours and days and months trudging through stinky water in the Amazon. This guy knows what a natural habitat looks like. We've had him on a few times. He's talked about that. He can produce aquariums that bring that home with still a beautiful design element. Again, we all have that ability. We just need to overcome some tendencies. We all have greatness within ourselves to put our beauty into the world. Over the years, I've learned a few things about the mindset of the majority of aquascapers, which seem to come up all the time. And they're in no particular order. We're typically our own worst critics. Yeah, we are. We tend to place too much value in what other people think of our efforts. Let that marinate for a second as I take a sip of coffee. We're almost all never finished with an aquascape. We keep going when it's done. We don't stop. Our work is almost always better than what we think than how we think it is. That's an important point. And I think I'm spot on with all these points. You don't believe me? Check out almost any forum where someone is showing off their latest work or an Instagram post or whatever. It's almost guaranteed you'll see the creator preface her work with stuff like, I know it needs some work, but, or please be gentle, it's my first effort, or I just can't seem to get my rocks arranged as good as, you know, whoever can. Oh, sure, every once in a while you'll actually see some comment like, I'm pretty happy with this one, I think I nailed it. Yet in the aquascaping world or the greater aquarium world, that seems to be the exception rather than the rule. We're too damn self-critical, too modest even. Not everybody, but many of us. And look, I'm not espousing that you go on Facebook with a pic of your tank and proclaim to be the world that you're the second fucking coming of Takashi Amano. Arrogance is never fashionable. But what I'm espousing is that you take a second to realize that, well, you're pretty damn good at this stuff. Really damn good. Especially when it comes to this botanical method stuff. Really working in tune with nature and accepting the results based on what you're doing to construct a functional ecosystem. And the work that you've been sharing is pretty incredible. Believe it or not, and I think that many of my A-list aquascaping buddies will vouch for me here. Believe it or not, every aquascape that is put out into the world has amazing merits that inspire all sorts of people. Really. Ask your local aquascaping superstar. They'll tell you that they can glean something from almost every single aquarium that they look at, whether it's this brilliant placement of a branch that struck them, a use of color or texture that they simply hadn't seen before, or even, just occasionally, a reinforcement of why they don't want to do something a certain way. And that's okay too. The key is they always get something out of every single aquarium that they see. Yeah, nothing's ever wasted when you share in the aquarium world. We talked about this in the last episode. I say it constantly, don't I? I do, because it's true. An aquarium can always serve as an example of what not to do for someone. And again, notice I said for someone, and that's not a negative. Maybe the other person realizes after seeing your scape that she or he really doesn't like using leaves and seed pods in their tank. It's just not their thing. They can't grasp what we see in it. That's a huge win for that person, because it's also a win for the hobby, because it'll benefit from this person sharing a pure vision of her. A win. Why is this? Because every aquarium has its merits and should satisfy the one person who really counts, its creator. And perhaps most important, we can't be afraid to put ourselves out there for fear of some anonymous critic tearing us down. Don't let that happen. It's complete bullshit to let that happen. Hell, the reason I write blogs and share my ideas on this podcast every day, or try to do it every day, is because I believe in what I'm doing and I feel good about sharing it with others. Maybe inspiring a few people, maybe pissing some people off, maybe provoking some thoughts, discussions. You know what? One of the coolest things in the world is I've had people refer to me on other podcasts saying, oh yeah, Scott Feldman has this, remember him? He has the reefer guy, whatever. He has this thing called the tin. He was talking the other day about, that's a really big honor because it shows we're seeping into the consciousness of the hobby. And we can all do this. Every single one of us has that power. I am nothing special. I just like talking. Your power might be writing, taking pictures, whatever, but share your gift. I know it sounds horrible and it sounds almost arrogant, but I really don't give a shit what anybody else thinks. I put out what feels good for me, what's honest, and it's a reflection of me. Some of it's freaking awful. Some of it's mean. There's days when I'm really frustrated with the hobby. I guess this is therapy for me, whatever, but other days I'm overjoyed and I want to put out some cool stuff, and that works. It took me a while to get there, but it really works well, and if you're going to do any kind of creative work, expressing yourself truly is amazing. And I think behind the philosophy, I've been able to zero in on what I feel is the most important technical lesson to learn about aquascaping or aquariums. Remember my early point about not being finished with our scapes? It's a tough one to overcome, I admit. But I used to have this problem. I always needed to place one more rock, one more piece of wood, one more iteration of the finishing piece of wood, or one last plant, one more handful of leaves. It was hard to stop sometimes. I had to battle myself. I couldn't stop iterating, or more colloquially, tweaking the goddamn thing. It was constant. Part of it was probably this tug of war in my head that said, it's good, just stop. And then, oh, if you move that one piece over a few more inches, wow, that's going to be amazing, you know, that kind of thing. yeah, that was a distraction for sure. I'm 100% certain that I ruined a lot of great aquariums with that thinking too. We all probably have. That one little tweak in the morning ends up into a complete redo by the afternoon. I think we've all been there. And look, there's always distractions in our head when we execute aquariums, regardless of if they're top of mind or just occupying a space somewhere in our heads. I think one of those distractions is the fact that all those cool escapes that we see on online on Instagram or whatever from aquascaping competitions or whatever, they're all evolved or very finished, highly polished, carefully photographed products. Either ones which are the result of many iterations of the scape, or ones that are long established, which a human started and nature took over along the way. Yet we don't see that from the pics. We don't see the struggle, the work. We see this finished product and we think to ourselves, keep going. Sometimes it's actually best to tell ourselves, walk the fuck away. Sometimes it's about nailing the concept in your head and simply having the confidence to acknowledge that you arrived, you did what you wanted to do, and that you don't need to do any more to the tank. This was never more evident to me than when I went hardscape negative. Remember that over the last few years, I've done these tanks where they're leaf litter only, literally different types of aquariums with just leaf litter, maybe a twig or two, but mostly just leaf litter, nothing else. These tanks were designed to replicate a very specific ecological niche, and they did it really well functionally, and hell yeah, they actually look good. These tanks really test your commitment to the idea. As an aquarist, your instinct is to tweak. You got to put a rock there. It needs something. I'm used to. As a lover of the habitat, you know what you need to do. You need to just walk away. You're finished, done, kaput. I know that my best aquascapes have always come from a place of being done. Whether or not the scape could have used one more piece or whatever, it's not the point. The point is to put yourself in the state of mind that says, okay, let it breathe. I've accomplished kind of what I wanted. Bring life to it as it is, see how it goes, let nature evolve it. That's a big thing with me. Rather than the more common, oh, if I just tweak the direction of this rock a little bit to the left. No, let it simply breathe a bit. Restraint, like effort, is really, really important. There's a really interesting video. I encourage you to find it. I probably have to put a link to it. My dear friend, late Jake Adams from Reef Builders, visited Mike and Jeff Senske at Aquarium Design Group in Houston, Texas, about, I guess it's going on like 2 years now. And Jake was a lover of all things aquarium, reef aquariums, freshwater, but Jake was never like an aquascaper, but just a brilliant seer of the natural world. And he went to Mike and Jeff's studio and they had a saltwater aquarium that was just so different, reef aquarium that was a soft coral aquarium, or soft corals and large polyps, stony corals. It was a very different tank. And Jake kept going over and over again in his voiceover. It was a very different video for him. How blown away he was by the restraint. This wasn't a hyper-colored coral tank. It was a restrained, beautiful effort. And that's the mark of, I mean, I think Jeff and Mike are two of the most brilliant aquascapers on the planet. And that's a mark of what they do, restraint. Restraint, like effort's really important, yet it's often overlooked in our quest to seek perfection. Look for that video. It's on a Reef Builder's site. Just put like ADG soft coral tank or something like that when you search. It's really worth looking at. But again, we always have this quest to seek perfection. It's noble, but it's a kind of a form of self-sabotage. Mike and Jeff learned to walk away. We all need to learn to walk away, to know when to say when. The realization that the very best aquariums are ones that start with a solid foundation of a good design, but require time, growth, and other natural processes to allow them to reach their full potential. This is a huge thing in our little specialty niche, isn't it? Look, nature's been doing this stuff for billions of years. Our intervention might be appreciated, but it's seldom necessary when it comes to creating aquariums. The botanical systems that we love so much are, I think, the absolute embodiment of this. As soon as we finish, nature takes the reins and completes the job. If we don't get in there with a siphon hose and go, oh, biofilm, oh, fungal growth. Yeah, nature does a lot of the real heavy lifting in our world, doesn't it? Doesn't she? I call her it. Sorry, nature. What we have to do is set the stage, giving nature a platform to work with. Let it breathe. We're getting this. And it's leading to really interesting things, isn't it? I think we're now starting to see more realistic interpretations of nature in our aquariums, more so than ever before. A desire to represent nature as it really is, not just as we idealize it. Not the biotope competition stuff, which don't ask me about. It's about looking at nature and saying, how can I make this work in my aquarium? And how could I not edit the shit out of it and enjoy it? This is, in my opinion, something that's leveled the playing field just a bit. I believe that it's entirely possible for the so-called average aquarium owner or aquascaper with a work ethic, a deep understanding of his or her subject, access to proper materials, and a prototype in mind to create a scape or an aquarium that both inspires and enthralls while working with nature to the fullest extent possible. It's not that hard. The rise of what I call the soulscaper, a hobbyist who sees the world as it is and brings it to life accordingly, will add yet another element of achievement to the state of the art of the aquarium world. I think that once contest judges and those who seem to be the guardians of style in the aquascaping contest world recognize that interpreting nature realistically and letting it breathe, knowing when to say when, requires just as much talent and work as it does to glue together fucking wood like they're doing all over the contest world right now, and creating these highly fanciful, stylized aquariums with underwater waterfalls or whatever. I think once we judges realize that, we'll see the next evolution in aquascaping. Now, I'm not talking about the militant, 100% authentically biotope-perfect aquariums either. I'm talking about systems that represent the natural world, both functionally and aesthetically, with the function first and the aesthetics as a sort of a collateral benefit, without the obsession that every stick or grain of sand is absolutely tied to a specific geographic locale or niche that we're representing. Everybody's going to win. Most important, nature's going to win, because we'll be looking at it in a different way, an authentic way. We'll be trying to understand as hobbyists just why nature looks the way it does, how it functions, what processes occur to keep it functioning. We'll see subtleties, we'll understand the external influences and environmental pressures which man's placed upon these fragile and priceless aquatic ecosystems all over the world. That old adage about people protecting what they love will take on an even greater significance. Embracing aquariums as functional and aesthetic representations of the real aquatic habitats of the world will give us a much greater appreciation for them and an even greater desire to protect them and to share the challenges that they face with people that aren't even familiar with our hobby. It's truly a win for all. And as for you, the aquarist or aquascaper simply wanting to do great work, have fun, and share with others, where does this leave you? It leaves you in a position to bring beauty into the world in ways you never thought possible before in the hobby. And if you feel you suck, thinking you need one more wood or piece or leaf or whatever, well, walk away for a bit. Let nature have at it. She'll do what's right, just as surely as the sun rises and the tide returns. When you work with nature instead of trying to circumvent her or second guess her, the results are almost always more amazing than you could ever have envisioned. Learn this, embrace this, evolve mentally to accept this. I think you'll be a happier, more fulfilled aquarist or aquascaper as a result. Call it wabi-sabi or evolution or transience or whatever the hell you want to call it. Call it anything, but just embrace it and savor your work, the experience, the process, the satisfaction, the failures, the mistakes. Listen to your own voice and interpret nature's lessons. See where they take you. You just might like it. You've got this. Stay passionate, stay hungry, stay inspired, stay strong, stay creative, and always stay wet. Until next time, this is Scott Feldman from Tannin Aquatics. Thanks for spending part of your day with me. I look forward to seeing you on the next installment of The Tint.